Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
With Sergei Karjakin taking on the world champ with the white pieces, and that was the funniest moment of perhaps the entire Norway chess event. The rumor is that Vladimir Kramnik, who you just saw there laughing, shook up the water bottle before Carlsen came to the table.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Monday, December 5th, 2022. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to Tassie is the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Ayo!
Ayo! And last but not least, over yonder, making the magic happen, super producer, J.D.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Happy Monday to everybody out there. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. We love to see it. Hit the like button, comment away there in the stream team, and subscribe if you haven't already to No Dunks on YouTube. Get your questions and comments in. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. Best way to email them in. I lied last week.
Why?
I realized. I said like a couple times. Great week to get your questions in. I'm sure we'll hit the beach at some point. In fact, I guarantee we'll hit the beach to read your questions and comments, and we never hit the beach.
Well, there was a lack of emails.
That's on you.
Yeah.
That's on the people out there, not me.
Not a dearth. Not much out there.
Wow.
Not
crickets,
much.
Eh?
People aren't using email, I don't think.
Interesting. So should just tweet them in?
Just tweet them in.
Okay, @NoDunksInc, INC on the end. Or you can leave them. It's a little more difficult to find the good ones and pull them out, but leave them in the YouTube comments, too, if you are watching later, I guess.
Twitter, too. The search function.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Garbage. Used to be good.
Yeah.
Thanks for
I can't stand. I mean, this
Twitter?
Has been in, well, a little bit, but I hate waking up in the morning and then like seeing a tweet and you're like, oh wow, that's interesting. And then realizing it's like 23 hours old or something like that. I hate that as well.
You can change it.
Can
real
I?
Quick. Yeah.
That's oh, so I can make it
timeline.
Like
there's a chronological
yeah,
version
you're right,
out there.
You're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
yeah.
Still, you know.
It's tough.
Yeah, it's stuff out there. Things have changed.
Hey, here's an idea. Write us a letter.
Yeah, write a letter.
If you mail us a letter, guaranteed we will read it on the
yes.
show.
Yes.
I mean, okay, I'll put the P.O. box address in the YouTube comments. Send us stuff or send us a letter.
It's on IG in the highlights right there. Actually, we have got letters before.
We have, and we've read them.
So nice.
It's really nice. I mean, it's sort of tough to send an NBA question in letter form. Like,
yeah,
you're talking about the Pelicans, yeah, you know, being at the top or near the top of the Western Conference. Mm-hmm. You send that letter, it gets to us by the time we get it from the P.O. box, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 weeks later.
By carrier Pelican?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, nice. Boom. They can carry a lot of mail on that gullet. Get your No Dunks merch like Tass is rocking right now. Over at NoDunks.com, he's got on one of the, I guess, sort of Team USA No Dunks colors there.
First time I've worn it.
You can tell it's a little creased.
Yeah. Well, all of my No Dunks shirts are creased. Oh, come
I'm
on.
No, camera?
No, you can't. On camera, you can't see it, but
see
I can
it.
See it right here really
yeah.
good.
Oh, there it is.
Like that nipple squeeze. Yeah. Well, anyway, yeah. It's fresh.
Anyways,
how's it feel?
So what am I supposed to do? Hang them up? They're folded. They're within a bunch of others in the cubby.
Well, you don't.
I'm not a
don't...
wrinkle. I'm not an Iron Man. I'm not a steam refresh dryer man. I just go with the flow.
Are you not a wash your new t-shirt, sweater, pants before wearing it person? Because Nora and I get into huge arguments about this.
She says yes.
She does. And I said, no way. I'm like, give me the chemicals. Give me the...
That's the breakdown in our house, too. Whatever chemicals they're putting on it when you buy it from the store makes it look the freshest it will
yeah.
ever look.
Yeah, why would I want to
wash
that out?
It looks worse, yeah.
Yeah, but it stinks.
Yeah,
I can't handle this.
That's a risk you gotta take.
I stink. I mean, what does it matter? All right, let's get into today's show. Man, a zany little Monday podcast here already. We got winners and losers of the NBA weekend. That's what we do on Monday. But first, three wedgies over the weekend. We had two on Friday night, one more on Saturday. We'll start in San Antonio. This one, tough to decide who to give the credit to. It's Zion Williamson and Bates Diop there fighting for the rebound. who really triggered it? I think it's BHGR.
Yeah.
The most, yeah.
Chop, chop, chop.
Chop, chop, chop. So that was number 14. Then same night, like, I don't know, like 10 minutes later, I think, in Utah, O'Shea Brissett hitting the jumper wedgie from the left-hand side. Good old Canadian boy sticking a wedgie.
Boink.
Excellent.
Oh, Canadian wedgie removal as well.
Yeah, that's right. And then on Saturday, KJ Martin, the highlight machine, giving us a wedgie from three-point distance. And look at Draymond there.
Oh, cool.
Look how he dislodged that wedgie. Mm-hmm. You don't see that often.
Just hanging on the rim.
Hanging on the rim.
Let it fall out.
To let it pop out. Yeah. So there you go. 16 wedgies on pace for 55. And that is not even counting the playoffs, which were good for, yeah, what, 3-6 in a playoff? You know, deep playoff run? Something like that.
Sure.
It could be
so,
pacing out the wedges.
I don't think that's taken into consideration. You think it is?
Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Add some games.
Okay. All right, winners of the weekend. Let's get into it, Tass. Who you got as your big winner? There are a lot to pick from here.
Oh, the New Orleans Pelicans, baby. They are second in the Western Conference with a bullet. And Zion Williamson is peaking right now. We are getting peak Zion Williamson. He is looking so great out there. He's unstoppable, baby. Mm-hmm. You just give that guy a bit of space. You give him a little dribble handoff from Jonas Valanciunas to get him going downhill, or you get him a pick, just a little bit of space up top, get him going downhill. Yeah, he's going left every time. Everybody knows it, but he can spin off that thing. His spin is so quick right now. There was a play on Sunday when he shook Aaron Gordon, who was guarding him, just a quick shimmy with the ball. Aaron Gordon went flying. Those fast twitch muscles for Zion Williamson are working right now, and you need a guy that big in Aaron Gordon to try and defend that dude going downhill. Zion is just amazing on Friday against the Spurs, 30, 15, and 8, and then Sunday against the Nuggets in what was a battle for second place in the Western Conference. He had 25. But he needed help because Nikola Jokic had a great game on the other side, a phenomenal game. The Nuggets wanted to win. He had 32, 16, and 9 assists, but it was the Pelicans' depth, which is real depth.
Oh,
it
yeah.
is real, real depth.
Best bench maybe in the league?
Yeah, totally. And it's not like that fake bench stuff that they'll be good now and then later on they won't perform in the playoffs. I think this team is truly good beyond their big three of CJ McCollum, Brandon Ingram, and Zion. They had a 17-4 run when Joker sat because they do have a better bench. They're just more deep. Trey Murphy changed the game. Willie Hernan Gomez changed the game. Rookie Dyson Daniels been starting two games in a row here because Herb Jones is hurt. They're so deep. And then Jose Alvarado comes in and sparks the thing. And it's not just a spark. We've all talked about him as, oh, changes the game. He does the stealing type thing. He's just a great basketball player now. He's just honed his craft like Zion. He is so good off the dribble. He just knows where his shots come from. Even if he's undersized, he can get to the rim when they move the ball. He had 38 career high, 38 points. Was going for 40 at the end. He was going for it. Yeah, the arena wanted him to get it.
Jose, Jose, Jose.
Yeah. They're chanting it. He won the game. He really did. He was 8 of 11 from 3. Just phenomenal stuff. His career high wasn't even 30 before this game, so he had 38. It's something they need, though. The depth is really something they need because Zion, Brandon Ingram, and CJ McCollum haven't played a ton together. They're 6-3 when they play 20 minutes together, plus 18.9 points. That is so, so good. And then just back to Zion. Just loving the Zion on the floor and off the floor because he's going to have the entire basketball community loving him, supporting him because he's charismatic when he gets on the press row. Like when he does his interviews, he's charismatic. He's well-spoken. And I think we have a clip, JD, of one of his interviews from the weekend.
So my mom put me on Magic, Bird, because of their playmaking abilities. And if you watch Michael Jordan, even when Michael Jordan, you know, he's a phenomenal scorer. When he had to play point guard, I think he averaged a triple-double. But my stepfather is more so like old school, but they got a certain taste. Like you got Kenny Anderson, I'd watch. Earl the Pearl Monroe. A player named Skip Wise, who a lot of people don't know. He kind of put me on those kind of players because Fly Williams, he put me on those players because they just play fundamentally sound basketball, but they all had their own flair to it.
That's how you do it, Zion. On the floor and off the floor.
Hey, what about this guy?
What about this 90s basketball player?
Well, he's smart. He's smart. Yeah, he names the superstars. He gives you the Bird and Magic off the top. Then he gives you some deeper cuts. Yep. He goes to the ABA, giving you Slick Watts, giving you Kenny Anderson, fan favorites. And then he gives you stats. Michael Jordan with the triple doubles. He's playing to the geeks. He's playing to the people who love the stars. He's playing to the cool kids who like the, you know, the under the radar guys. He's doing it all. And then he does it on the floor. This team is 8-2 in their last 10. They're rolling here. They are just behind the contenders of the contenders, but I think they are in that sort of that B tier.
I was just going to ask both of you that. Are the Pelicans a legit title contender, or is that a year or two ahead of schedule? What do you think, TK?
I think that's a year ahead of schedule. Yeah. They haven't gone into a playoff series with Zion playing yet, and that's going to be the big thing because he is their best player, and him being their leader and their star is the key to them being a championship contender. They're on the path, no doubt about it. They are, you know, gelling at the right time. They're still not able to have their whole team out there, which is pretty impressive that they're able to rip off these kind of wins. But as they continue to play together, as they're, you know, I don't know, their big three is McCollum, Zion, and Brandon Ingram, certainly. But I mean, like, Alvarado's a key piece of this team at this point. Valanciunas, I feel like, is kind of a key piece of this team. Just, you know, the physicality. He brings Herb Jones out there. Trey Murphy III, I think he might be better than Herb Jones eventually. Like, this guy's incredible. The athleticism and the shot-making, not to mention the defense he brings. They're a great team, but it's probably a little bit like the Grizzlies last season, where they could go to the conference finals.
Yep.
I wouldn't be surprised at that kind of performance from the Pelicans, but being able to top the teams that have been there and done it might be a tough task, but Zion's pretty unstoppable, and I do think it's hilarious that this became the weekend where, like, everybody realizes he goes left every single time. Trey Murphy had a great interview after that Spurs game. He said, "I was on the free throw line. One of the guys on the Spurs was telling another guy, don't let him go left." The guy's like, "Bro, I'm trying.
Yeah.
It ain't that easy."
No.
I told him, "Yeah, he's a big dude, bro. I'm sorry." As if the idea that stopping Zion from going left has never been uttered before. He's been going left for the entirety of his basketball career, but there ain't no way to stop him. And that's why he went for, what, 55 points on 18 of 31 shooting, I think, this weekend. Pretty impressive.
Yeah. And then when he's cut off, he's finding guys pretty well. He had 8 assists on Friday because you stop him going left, and he's great at it. I like the Grizzlies comparison, but I think the Pels have more top-end talent than the Grizzlies did and even more depth than the Grizzlies did if everybody is healthy. It feels like they do have that path. This is just so quick to be there. I know Zion's obviously taken a while with his injuries, but to start this season, I thought when David Griffin signed to the contract, I thought, wow, you're obviously saying he's going to be healthy for a long period of time. And then do you have the depth behind him? Well, yeah. David Griffin has made some wild moves. You said the Trey Murphy, the Herb Jones draft pick. I mean, they are stacked, really, if they're all healthy.
Yeah. Will Guillory has a great article up on The Athletic. Go to theathletic.com/NoDonis. Get yourself a subscription. Pointing out what you guys were saying, putting some stats to what you were saying about their starting lineup, barely playing together.
Yeah, I stole that stat from him, for sure.
Yeah, only 10 of their first 23 games where they've been in there, all of them. You know, Zion, Ingram, McCollum have each missed, like, chunks of time here. But then Will just, like, went through all the guys contributing. You already said Alvarado and Trey Murphy, who have been outstanding, both of them. Herb Jones, he hasn't shot the ball all that well this year, but he's on all clamps. We know that. He's going to be making an all-defensive team. Valanciunas is just like the perfect solid center. You know, gives you a good 25, 30 minutes. You know, less in some cases because Larry Nance Jr. comes in, closes the games at the 5 spot. You know, or Zion, they play a lot at the 5-2. Najee Marshall is having his best season as a pro. Devontae Graham, I always forget, is on this team at times. He's been decent, you know, despite limited opportunities. And Dyson Daniels, that's just David Griffin finding another one here in the draft, who's, like, emerged recently as one of these rookies that appears, like, you know, NBA ready. You can plug him in. And as long as you're not asking too much from him, he can contribute. So, deep, deep team. Yeah, we'll see. I guess the difference between the Grizzlies, I love that comparison from last year and their run, is they do have, like, Valanciunas has been in a lot of freaking playoff games. CJ McCollum has obviously been in a lot of playoff series and stuff like that. No, I think it just helps a little bit to pair with your superstar, Zion. They go as far as Zion takes them, just like John Morant with the Grizzlies. Once he got injured, they were losing games in the postseason last year.
So, true.
And they've got the EuroBasket MVP and Willie Hernan Gomez.
Sure.
Yeah, they are not the cream of the crop, let's be honest, but they are making their way. It is Grizzlies like, but I think they have, yeah, they have a few more weapons when it comes down to it.
Well, I was one of the, I feel like maybe rare because a lot of people were high on the Pelicans coming into the season, but I was like a little worried that expectations were getting ahead of themselves. You know, what they did last year down the stretch after the McCollum trade. And, you know, obviously having to always, like, cross your fingers and hope that Zion would be healthy and play. So I was like, I don't know about their over-under. I don't know. Like, slow it down a little bit. And they're proving me wrong. And that's with guys missing time. Fully stacked, you'd love to see the potential run they could go on here. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't be long when they're all back. But, man, great job by Willie Green and the Pelicans so far.
Yeah.
Said near the top of the Western Conference. Yeah. Just
they're
behind
second.
The Suns.
They're
yeah.
second wow. in the Western Conference. You remember the they are second to the Suns, and we remember the playoff series that they had with the Suns last year, you know, without Zion.
Yeah.
So
yeah, six-game series. Like, yeah, put up a decent fight. All right, Trey, let's keep it going. Who you got? Winner of the weekend.
There's two things I love, Skeets. A thumbnail that says Epic Duel. Mm-hmm. And big meaty men slapping meat.
Jesus.
That's why I'm saying winner of the weekend goes to Anthony Davis versus Giannis on Friday night.
Yep.
Game of the year candidate, I would have to say, Short for list. The first quarter of the season. 40.7 rebounds, 5 assists, and a sick block on LeBron from Giannis. Outdone, though, by 44 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 blocks from Anthony Davis, who said he was inspired by Aaron Rodgers. Being there at Crypto.com Arena. They had a chat before the game. Aaron Rodgers asked him for 30 points. So AD went up and put out 44 points, and Aaron Rodgers said, I only asked for 30.
Wow. Mm. Did you see the rings Aaron Rodgers wears? He wears a lot
rings?
Of...
Like, he only has one.
Well, he wears... Oh. Good one. He wears, like, a lot of, like, metallic jewelry. Like, yeah. like 90s vibe.
He's going
jewelry.
Through a Chris Angel mind freak
yes,
kind of
yes,
a rebrand
a
here, unfortunately. nonetheless, Giannis and AD, they've had some good games against each other in the past. I think AD's first game with the Lakers against Giannis and the Bucks was probably the best one prior to this one, but this is their best head-to-head game. Also, the rest of the game was awesome in this one. We had two good defenses who I thought were playing pretty solid defense. And it didn't matter at all because the score was crazy. In this one, you had LeBron passing Magic Johnson for 6th place on the all-time assist list. Some say passing is his greatest skill. It's debatable at this point. You also had Chris Middleton returning finally from injury, 17.7 assists, a decent game. And some drama at the end. The Bucks had a chance to tie. Grayson Allen had a nice look at a 3 with 20 seconds left. Missed. Lakers get the rebound. Russ misses 2 free throws. Jrue Holiday has a chance to tie it with 5 seconds left. He missed, so a tough loss for the Bucks, but an awesome, awesome win for the Lakers. Their best win of the season. And then I thought that was good enough for a winner.
Yep.
That game alone, good enough for a winner. But Lakers AD had to get upgraded to full winner status after Sunday. 55 points from Anthony Davis against the Wizards. 22 of 30 from the field. 17 rebounds, 3 blocks. The guy's getting MVP chance on the road. He's probably not at the MVP table quite yet.
I think he's in the restaurant.
I saw him walk by. We had a great window table,
yep.
and he just strolled on by. Was that Anthony Davis coming by?
Yeah.
99 points over the weekend. Oh, yeah, I wonder if he's ever been to Pequod's. He's a Chicago guy. I cannot believe he's a Packers fan. That's a disappointment. But 99 points over the weekend, 10 straight games with 20 points and 10 rebounds. The defense is there, too, leading the league in rebounds, second in blocks. The Lakers have won 8 of their last 10 games after a 2-10 start. They're 3.5 games out of third place, but somehow they're still in 12th. That's crazy to me. Like, they've had a great run here with AD playing the best basketball of his life, maybe bubble accepted, and they still have made up 2 places, 14th to 12th. That's how tough it is in the Western Conference, but shout out to the Lakers. I said, I'll believe you're actually on your way back when you beat a team that's not the Spurs. They beat the Bucks. On the road.
Yeah.
That's impressive. And then they went and beat the Wizards as well.
And this is AD living up to all the expectations everybody had for him. Like, you should be at this point in LeBron's, you know, stage of his career. You should be the guy. We've seen it for flashes. We saw it when you were with the Pelicans. We saw it in the bubble. You know, stay healthy and ball. No one can stop you. And he's at least put it together here to ask for, you know, what are we at? Like, it's like a 10 to 15 game window at this point. You know, again, knock on wood with AD always, but holy shit, he looks unstoppable.
Yeah, that 2-10 start, not so much. But that 8-2 run that they've had going recently, yes, he looks like that guy that he didn't want to be. The guy who got started this season was that same guy the last couple of years where he wasn't the number one guy. Obviously has to stay healthy. He has put the pressure upon himself, and he also... Is maybe just gearing up for the second part of this season. Maybe he just didn't come out the gate and want to be an 82-game guy. Maybe he was
We were
slowly
sitting here talking
it.
About
That's a
games where he
thing.
Shot like three times in a second half, and we're like, yeah. What's going on?
He
Is that on him?
All-star.
Is that on him? Is that on the players not getting him the ball?
Yeah,
what is it?
That was probably chill mode. Him and Braun know how to pace themselves, and I know we've sort of already said that the Lakers season is done, but in the Western Conference, it isn't if you go on a run, and they're only 5.5 back of first, even if they're in 12th, mm-hmm. which is weird to say. The December schedule is ridiculously tough for them, but if they can beat the Milwaukee Bucks up against that great defense, it really, they need threes to go down, and it's happening at times, so... AD is getting MVP chance. He deserves them right
that
now.
That was a heavy Lakers crowd there in Washington, it sounded like.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Oh, my God. The cheers for Braun. That was wild. Yeah. And it was pretty fun. You know, the dunks back and forth.
Yep.
A really fun weekend for the Lakers. I'm eating crow. We're eating crow here saying their season is done or haven't already said their season is done. It ain't over. AD's just got to keep it going, and he wants to be in the All-Star game.
Well, you should give some crow back, because you were very early in the season pretty adamant about Westbrook should be coming off the bench, and that is the role for him, as long as Ham can get through to him to, like, take that responsibility.
It's working well.
He's been amazing off the bench. Yeah. I think he's the favorite to win Sixth Man of the Year, suddenly. Now, I know that's a Lakers-Westbrook sort of bump there with the they want you to bet on it, but he has been great. I think he's been pretty instrumental in this AD run, too. Like, Russ, when he's out there with him, of course, focusing on getting him the ball. Like, let it go through him. Nobody can stop him. 99 points over the weekend?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Grand Theft Alvarado is going to steal that sixth man trophy from him.
He's getting votes. He's going to get votes.
And Malik Monk's been damn good for the Kings, too. He should be in consideration.
Guy?
Yeah, what about this
what
guy?
About this
quick
guy?
Trivia. Quick trivia.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's a good video.
What about this guy?
No, Malik Monk holding the sixth man trophy, or Westbrook holding the sixth man trophy. Grand Theft Alvarado comes out of nowhere.
Steals it.
I do like that.
Steals it.
Yeah, like Mathurin. Yeah.
Mathurin, for sure.
Okay.
He can steal it from anybody. Really.
Quick trivia. I couldn't believe this from Statitudes. AD has recorded at least 25 points, 10 boards, and a field goal percentage of 50% in each of his last 9 games. That's the run he's been on. 25-10 plus 50% from the floor. Only one other player over the last 50 NBA seasons has produced a longer streak. Only one. Who is it?
Giannis?
Nope.
Diggity Dwight?
Nope.
Karl Malone?
Nope.
Tim Duncan?
Nope, but you're getting closer, I'd say, with the player of caliber of a Tim Duncan, so just say the next awesome big guy from the...
David Robinson?
No, not the team. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean to steer you in the wrong direction.
Shaq? Okay,
yeah,
he's good.
2000, 2001, he did it 11 straight games. AD's got a chance to, like, potentially surpass that. He's got to go for 25-10 and shoot over 50% the next couple of games at a time, and then 3 to beat him. Crazy.
Also, he was the first Laker to have back-to-back 40-point games since Kobe in 2013. That was a surprising stat to me. You would think LeBron may have done it at some point, or that Kobe would have done it at some point in the last 3 seasons of his career. He didn't retire until 2016. Nonetheless, if you're getting Lakers records, they've had some serious teams there. So, great stuff from AD. The question is... Actually, I guess that's probably my opinion, now that I'm thinking about it. Better than the bubble, because in the bubble, it was awesome. He was shooting jumpers. He was knocked down from outside. But this is like all layups and floaters and dunks. The guy's playing the five like everybody's been asking for his entire career. And guess what? It's working.
Yeah. Like the good example in the Wizards game is when he misses inside, gets the rebound, and then like goes up ferociously and dunks on like 2 Wizards players. Like, he puts 2 guys on a poster. So he's playing inside for sure. All right, let's keep it going here. Winner of the weekend, Jimmy Butler, for coming back to the Miami Heat. I mean, you said the Lakers-Bucks game on Friday night was awesome. It was. And at the exact same time, the Celtics-Heat game was a banger too. This one going to overtime. But Jimmy Butler returned to the Heat lineup after missing 7 games with a sore right knee. And they needed him. And man, did he deliver. Like 25 points, 15 boards, 3 assists in 36 minutes for Jimmy. And they survived a miraculous shot from Jalen Brown at the end of regulation. An incredible heave that went off the glass and went in and got them to overtime. But in the end, he pulled it out, 120-116. And Butler was just like, it's just so like, I you know, we always have like the All-Star debates and like all NBA team debates. And Jimmy misses a good chunk of time. So he's never like, you're always like, damn, he's good. But, like, he's missed too much, so he can't be there, whatever. But then you see him play, and you're reminded, like, when he has, like, a 5-minute stretch, and you're just like, this guy's one of the best basketball players in the world. Like, he really is. And this is a perfect example. He hit back-to-back baskets late in regulation. First off, an assist from Kyle Lowry. And then the second one, I'm sure you guys saw this, special where he got Horford switched on him. He drove baseline like he was Steve Nash, kept his dribble alive, and just kept circling. And then, like, in it, like, and just circled around to around the free throw line, rose up, all in one motion, super high fadeaway jumper, splashed it, and that put them up three until Jaylen Brown hit his crazy shot there to put them in overtime. Just a unbelievable make. And then he hit another jumper in overtime that sort of, like, sealed the deal for Miami. It's just, I guess it's just, I'm just reminded when he does come back and he just, again, he just takes over a game. He can do it offensively and defensively. And you're like, oh, God, yeah, this guy is, like, this guy's all NBA.
No
doubt. If he played 82 games, it's a lock, but because he misses chunks of time, then he sometimes misses out on these teams.
He's a great tough shot maker, and you saw in overtime, or in the fourth quarter, the one on Horford is crazy.
That's crazy.
And then the overtime jumper he hit, very similar as well. He's got such a wide base on his jumper that it's kind of hard to get a perfect contest on it, but man, what a performance he had here. 25 points, 12 of 21 from the field. Only made one free throw. Like a lot of Jimmy's most efficient scoring nights, he's getting to the free throw line 10 times and making 10 of them. This was just all two-point makes. Incredible.
Yeah, and they're 11 and 12, Miami are. So they're down there in the standings. But they have a pretty soft schedule coming up here. I think the Heat are going to, like, you know, rip off one of these 6 out of 7 or 7 out of 8. They play the Grizzlies, okay, tonight. That's a tough one, obviously, in Memphis. But then they have the Pistons, the Clippers, you know, who knows if PG and Kawhi are playing, the Spurs. They're in Indiana. They're in OKC. They're in Houston. They're in San Antonio. They got the Bulls, the Pacers again, the Wolves. That's a lot of, like, winnable games if Miami has these guys back. So I guess my point is I would expect Miami to start creeping up the Eastern Conference standings here with the schedule getting a little bit easier and their guys coming back.
Come on back, yeah, Jimmy.
I think so. All right, let's do another round. Why not?
Another round of winners. Positive on Mondays.
Yeah.
I'll go with a very odd one, a different type of winner. I think Alex Caruso, the Chicago Bulls, and Warriors head coach Steve Kerr, both co-winners of the weekend. Friday night, Bulls in Golden State. Golden State took care of the Bulls. No problem. After the game, Steve Kerr had an extended chat with Alex Caruso. Oh, they're chitty chatty. And it's clear, after doing some lip reading, I think the entire world knows,
yeah,
that Steve Kerr said to Alex Caruso, "I'd love to have you, man. I'd love to have you, man." Over and over and over again. He didn't loop himself like you're watching on YouTube. I did that.
Just kept saying it.
But I think they're both winners. Number one, Steve Kerr getting around the tampering rules. Like, he didn't do a Magic Johnson on Jimmy Kimmel and say, "Hey, we want you on our team, Paul George." He just said it in his ear. Smart. Second, Alex Caruso. You had the head coach of a guy who's won 4 ships in the last 8 years telling you he loves you and what you do on the basketball floor. We were courtside just like you were at a college Skyhawks game, College Park Skyhawks game. We were courtside for Alex Caruso trying to make this league in summer league, barely making this league for the Lakers. And he had a chance in Vegas there, sure. But those were chances to try and get him in the league. And now this dude he's a lock in this league for a long time. So I just going back to that, just huge to have all that love and support and guys who want to trade for you.
So what's the deal? What's the move? Have you fired up the trade machine?
Well, there's lots. There's plenty. Kevin O'Connor threw out immediately the Alex Caruso for James Wiseman, who says no.
Bulls. Come on.
Okay.
Well, Wiseman is not in the NBA.
Well, if they're trying to be good for a long time, I could see that happening.
Well, if they're trying to tank, they should get Wiseman.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if you want to win right now, yeah, Caruso's the guy. But do you want to be sub-500 for years, or do you want to look to the future?
Wiseman ain't bringing him back. I think Steve Kerr's recruiting him for Team USA, personally.
Yeah, it's possible, yeah. It's going to get to that as
wow.
well, yeah. Yeah, definitely makes sense.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Caruso, man.
Yeah.
He's like, if he's not, yeah, trying to get him to the Warriors, he's looking for, like, a Gary Payton the second replacement. He's like, oh, damn, we'd love to have you on this team. Slot you in, try and win us another chip with your help.
And they could have signed Gary Payton the second, and they could have signed those guys, but they decided not to. It was more just a, hey, you're an awesome guy, man.
You're a good guy.
I don't necessarily think he's trying to get him, but it was a cool moment for him, I think. And just trying to give the Bulls some love because they stink, you know?
Haven't beat the Warriors since 2017.
Ooh. That's a long time. Holy crap.
I mean, the Warriors have been like the best team in the league.
I guess they only play them twice, too. They only play them twice.
10, 11.
Yeah. I don't think they have a good record against the second team they lost to, too, in the... Kings, right? I think the Kings have a decent record against the Bulls, oddly, in the last couple of years.
This is going to be a shock, but the Bulls have a pretty bad record against a lot of teams from 2017 on.
Yeah, right. Who do you have for another winner? Let's keep it going.
It ain't the Bulls.
No.
But I did mention on our Western Conference surprises last week, we rarely talk about the Memphis Grizzlies and how they used to be a winner every weekend last season. Guess what? They're a winner this weekend. Friday, beat the Sixers. Sunday, beat the Pistons. Couple of different levels of opponent, couple of different kinds of games, and a couple of different kinds of game balls. Or if I were running this show, big hats. I would be giving these guys the big hat at the end of the day. Big hat versus the Sixers. Jaren Jackson Jr., 22 points, a couple of threes, 9 rebounds, and 4 blocks, including a game saver, almost LaPhonso Ellis-esque snatch block on a Joel Embiid dunk late in the fourth quarter. This was one of his best games since returning. Still fouled a little bit, but his defense, his shot making, his ability to just dink and dump inside has been really good for the Grizzlies. The Sunday big hat, though, goes to Ja Morant, 33 points, 10 assists, 21 points in the third quarter. Kind of surprised to hear that that's his career high for a quarter. Seemed like he would have had a 25 or a 30-point quarter even. Nonetheless, a highlight festival for this one. He somehow hit two... It felt like buzzer-beater shots on a 2-for-1 in the third quarter. They were both incredible. Dylan Brooks, pretty solid in both of these. He did have a hilarious 7-for-20 line, but all good. The bench was pretty good in both of these. They've been up and down, I think, so far this season, but a nice bounce-back weekend after a stinker versus Minnesota last week. And I'm even willing to throw in Saturday as a winner for Memphis as well, because when Memphis scored against Team USA in the World Cup...
Yeah.
He hit the finger celly.
Yeah.
That's when I knew it was over for USA. They're doing over dance on us? Game over. Nice weekend for Memphis, though.
Any thoughts on the Grizzlies?
Yeah, get back Desmond Bane. We don't need Dylan Brooks shooting all the shots. That would be very, very nice for them. But, yeah, their depth coming through. And the celly coming through.
I wanted to give a winner of the weekend to a team that I thought desperately needed it, and it was the Portland Trailblazers. Because headed into the weekend action... Portland had lost 7 of their last 8, with that only win coming in overtime against the Knicks, so it had been a bad, bad run here. But they took care of business. They won in Utah on Saturday night, and then they turned around, flew home, and took care of the Indiana Pacers on Sunday, who were without Tyrese Halliburton, so they were a little short-staffed. But Saturday, Anthony Simons, career-high 45 points. Whew! From the opening minute, I don't know if you saw this. This guy was like just attacking the Utah Jazz. Scored 23 points in the first quarter, 8-10 shooting, 5-7 threes. They switched up a little bit their defense. They kept going under and stuff like that, letting them walk into 3-point shots. But eventually, they started throwing some doubles at him. He moved the ball, and it was a close game. And then he made a game-saving sort of defensive play, a little dicey on Jordan Clarkson. It was a 3-point game. And he did the old, like, swipe down on it. You know, you can get yourself in trouble, obviously put the guy at the line, but it was a clean swat, and Clarkson then, like, kicked it out, so the Blazers won. So that was a big win. And then on Sunday, Damian Lillard returned to the lineup, 21 points, 6 assists. He had missed a decent chunk of time here. Blazers lights out from 3 again, 17 of 40 as a team, and that ball was zipping around against the Pacers. 32 assists on 42 made field goals. So, Simon's awesome on Saturday, Lillard back on Sunday, and then the glue guy of it all, Jeremy Grant, put him in the All-Star game. He averaged 30.5 points per game over the weekend. Just, you know, just going about his business. He didn't do a lot else. When you check his box scores, like, not a lot of rebounds, not a lot of assists. I don't even think he had a steal or a block on the weekend, but who cares when you're scoring like that? So, I think the Blazers really needed not only Lillard back, but to, like, just get some of these wins against teams, you know, in the Jazz, at least, that are, like, right around them in the standings.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they won a tight, very, very tight game again without Lillard. I know they are 3-7 here in their last 10. But zoom out, it doesn't feel that way. Even if, you know, the record says that they're 3-7 after starting so hot. They're 13-11, so it doesn't feel great to be that bad in their last 10 at the same time. Dame is back, and I'm sure they were cautious this time bringing him back.
Right.
And it was still even a little surprising when he was announced that he was playing on Sunday because he was questionable. So that's a great sign. And again, zoom out, 24 games in to be a couple games above 500.
Very good.
They feel great.
Same thing with this team. The Kings, little mini winner of the weekend. They've won 3 straight after they lost 3 straight. So that's good. They've bounced back here. They beat the Clippers and the Bulls over the weekend. Sabonis was a monster there on Sunday. 11 points. He only shot four times, yeah, but 17 rebounds and 10 assists. Again, a lot of stuff goes through him. And they had seven guys, including all five starters, scoring double digits. They're showing off their depth as well. I think the Kings have been really, really solid in that department. And I thought that this win over the Bulls, especially after beating the Clippers, it's like these were games that the Kings would lose, you know, in previous years. Yep. They would just have a letdown. And they're not doing that now. So that's good. Like, these are teams, like, they should have beat the Pacers. They should have beat a depleted Clippers team. They should have beat the Bulls. And they did. So, oh my God, light the beam, keep it lit. And Malik Monk, we slipped him in there already. Another 20 points off the bench. 5 assists, 2 steals. Game changer in this game. Like, exactly what you want from a 6-man. Really sparked them after, you know, he was slotted in there. Greg proposed a nickname, though, for Malik Monk. Like, an absolutely horrible nickname. G-Wiz, you guys know him on Twitter. I proposed the nickname, I'm laughing before I can even say it, Monkrowave, instead of Microwave Vinnie Johnson. He's the Malik Monkrowave. So bad it's good, or so bad it's horrible?
Written, I think it's very passable in a written form.
It looks funny, Monkrowave.
Yeah. Monkrowave.
As soon as you say it, yeah, no, you want to trash it. Yeah,
I think it's better to say Malikrowave.
Oh, interesting.
Monkrowave, better written. Malikrowave, better to say. Mm. But he was incredible. Bulls turned the ball over 11 times in the second quarter of this game. That was when the game was lost.
Yep, and Malik was in there, and he threw a couple. He's got some sneaky dunks. In his arsenal, right? You think of him as just a
shooter. He had a crazy one where he like went up for a dunk. There was a nice challenge at the rim. Yeah, he brought it down. And got it all the way back up again.
Yeah, slowing up.
That was nice.
A winner of the weekend of the Kings. And final one here. You slipped it in, Tass. College Park Skyhawks. I want to give them a winner of the weekend. Had me down to a game on Sunday. Me, my buddy Grish, Nora, my god kids there, Andreas and Zara. And I had a blast. This is my first G League game I've ever taken in. And it is fun as hell, man, because it's an intimate arena, at least here in College Park, which is like down by the airport here in Atlanta. But if you are a basketball sicko, get yourself out to a G League if you're close, because a G League game, because chances are you're going to be able to sit close. And these guys are guys that were in the NBA, are going to be in the NBA. Like, the athleticism is still next level. And I had a lot of fun watching Denzel Valentine versus Langston Galloway, like going one-on-one. Brandon Williams, remember, he played for the Blazers for a little bit. Yeah. You know, he's on the Hawks team. I think he'll get a call-up at some point. He can score. Chris Silva, if you remember, played for the Heat. He's on this team. There's like, if you are a true basketball sicko, there's a bunch of guys you're going to realize or recognize. And, man, I had so much fun. And the G League game, it moves with a pace, Tass. Ooh, a nice pace to the games, because I had forgotten about the one free throw rule. You get fouled, you know, and you go to the line to shoot two in the NBA. Nah, you just shoot one. You shoot one in the G League game. Let's go. You hit it, 2 points. Nope, zero. Mm. It speeds it up. Actually, you're just like, you know, this is less like just people standing around watching free throws. Lee Ellis' worst nightmare, I guess. But I loved it. Mm. So, College Park Skyhawks, get yourself out to a G League game if you can. You know, it's affordable, too, if you've got a family. And I think if you have young kids, go to a G League game instead of an NBA game. Affordability, huge part. And then, like, your kids ain't really going to care really who they're, in fact, seeing. But if they're so close, it's like they can't take their eyes off the game. So there's that part as well. So I had a blast.
What if there's a rolling ball towards them and somebody comes diving into
the stands? Well, we had one pass get zipped over to us sitting courtside there. And I forget who it was that caught it, but Nora was like, well, that would have decapitated one of the kids. Like, it came firing in. And we were telling them, like, you got to, like, not be, like, not that they have phones, but, like, you can't be on your phone sitting there.
You
got
to tell our buddy Grish to get off his phone and be ready to protect his kids.
Yeah, that's right.
In case Langston Galloway comes rolling through.
You got to be careful, man. You're sitting close. In fact, I was like, you know, you get comfortable. I'm leaning back. And I'm like, I felt bad a couple times. I'm like, I'm getting pretty close to tripping a ref here.
Don't feel bad.
Well, you're not far from it. Oh.
Ref's fine.
Bring him back in. There's enough room. They can go around you, but... I had so much fun. We got to get the whole No Dunks team out there. No doubt. For sure. And especially if Scoot's playing for the Ignite.
Scoot.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Scoot.
Yeah. There you go. Winners of the weekend. Look at that. Talking G League. Let's take our first break. When we come back, losers of the NBA weekend. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Banksa, is that the guy that does the podcast with Kevin Durant?
I thought it was the guy that did the streetwear.
The paintings. Yeah. I thought he dropped salt with a Banksa. Oh, that's another guy.
I thought he was the former editor-in-chief of Slam Magazine. Russ Banksa.
I thought it was the
head of SB Nation, Jim Banksy.
Oh, I thought it was former Cubs great Ernie Banksa.
Oh, this is nice.
A few comments here in the stream team. Jumpshoot was asking, was that a beer under Skeet's chair at the G League game? Yes, it was. Is that all right with you, Jumpshoot? Sunday afternoon beer, may I? There it is. Also, a couple nice people, nice comments. Everybody looking great, somebody said in this photo. But
yeah, you guys were happy.
Yeah, we were happy. We were pumped. Roberto says, oh my God, I go to Legends games here in Dallas. It's amazing. You can sit floor side for $26. That's what I'm talking about.
It's a good deal.
It's incredible. The Black Basketball Channel with Zen Master asked, imagine the pressure of a tie game and a foul call with one free throw. I wanted to clarify. It does change, I believe, in the final maybe 2 minutes where you're back to normal. Two free throws. But for a majority of the game, it's either final five or final two. But anyway, it changes in the end. So you do get two free throws. And yeah, that's about it. There was something else. Oh, people saying, is that my buddy Grish, your buddy Grish, our buddy Grish? Whose buddy Grish is it? It's everybody's.
Well, yeah, we always say that.
Yeah, I know.
Listen.
Yeah.
People.
I thought you were gonna like get setting it up for listen, I'm gonna say something important here, but you're just giving advice.
Yeah.
Podcast listening advice.
what do you think I was gonna say?
You're like listen, yeah, that's him. You know what he looks like. You've seen him, but you were just saying strictly listen with your ears.
Yeah. That's him.
That's him.
Let's get to losers of the NBA weekend. We usually don't take as long with this because we like to do a couple rounds of winners. But, Tass, why don't you get us started?
Oh, this one's going to take a while, Skeets. No, it won't. But a bit of a buzzkill for the Atlanta Hawks this weekend. Friday night, they beat the Denver Nuggets without Trae Young. A nice, inspiring win for the locker room.
Yeah.
Everybody feeling good, beating a tough Nuggets team. Then the story comes out from the Athletic Shams Charania as to why Trae Young wasn't playing Friday against the Nuggets. Surprising. Friday, Trae wasn't participating in shoot-around, getting his shoulder worked on instead. Head coach Nate McMillan approached him and said, hey, participate in shoot-around and then get your shoulder worked on afterward. Trae said, nah, doing it now. I'll miss shoot-around. And then Nate took the old-school approach, according to Shams reporting. If you're choosing not to participate now, you're either coming off the bench or you're not showing up to the arena tonight. And Trae chose the latter. And the team reported he was out with right shoulder soreness that night. So on Sunday, McMillan told reporters that Young did not play due to a miscommunication. So is that sort of walking it back a little bit? I suppose. I don't know. Young participated fully. It's weird calling Trae just Young.
Yeah, I agree.
But I had it in my notes, so I went with it. But anyways, Trae participated fully on Sunday and will return tonight, Monday, against OKC. But this rift goes deeper than that one incident of Coach over top of him on the massage table there. Because, look, Shams wrote, quote, league sources say the team is managing simmering issues between its head coach and star player, and, quote, the Hawks have held multiple team meetings early this season to resolve various conflicts. That's deep.
Mm.
Deeper than anyone knew that they've had multiple team meetings. There really hasn't been a public rift since Trae had it out with John Collins last season or the Lloyd Pierce prior season to that. So this year has felt clean, even though there's been up and down with the team on the court.
Yeah.
They have been extremely up and down. So This is bad news. Is it just? It doesn't feel like this is just two heads butting, and that's it. So yeah, it's deeper than that. It has to be. I mean, Shams basically lays it out. How deep do you think this is, Trey? How problematic do you think it is?
I think it's probably going to spell the end of Nate McMillan's tenure with the Atlanta Hawks here, and not too long, just because it's tough to win a beef with the franchise player. But it was pretty weird on Friday. I was there. It was surprising to me that Trey was going to be missing the game. First of all, kind of came out of nowhere. He played in the Hawks' previous game, but, you know, guys missed time, whatever. But then I was looking for him on the bench. I was like, where is he? He's nowhere.
Yeah.
He just didn't show up to the arena. That's a bad look, especially considering part of the reason Lloyd Pierce was fired in the first place was butting heads with Trae Young. I think it's interesting, though, that Shams and Sam are reporting that the Hawks want to stick with Nate McMillan because they're having a decent start to the season right now. You know, they're fourth in the Eastern Conference. We have talked a lot about how Trae's been struggling this season, and obviously something's been wearing on him. He's not liking the way the team is playing. You could read into some tea leaves with DeJounte Murray's post-game interview on Friday. The Hawks played incredible on Friday. Great game from Jalen Johnson. Great game from AJ Griffin. DeJounte was great in the fourth quarter as well. And afterwards, basically everybody was saying everybody eats. It felt very similar to when John Wall went out with injury with the Wizards years and years ago, and suddenly they started putting up all kinds of crazy assist numbers. Things are not perfect with the Hawks, but I think they're winning enough right now that they're going to hope this blows over. But, you know, if they hit a losing streak or something else bubbles up to the surface, it won't be long for Nate because he ain't going to win this battle, I don't think.
No, you think they'll side with the guy they gave $210 million to?
I do believe they will.
Yeah. It's interesting about the DeJounte Murray, like, everybody sort of eats comments. When you can, like, who they're talking about in Trae Young, who is, like, what, top two, three still in the league in assists per game. It's not like he is a ball hog. But I do think in watching a lot of Hawks games, especially when he's struggling with his shot right now, Trae Young goes for the home run three-pointer way too many times in a game. And I don't mean late in games. I mean in any quarters where it's like he just like he feels like he's due. He feels a little bit of light. And I get it. Like you want him to like be free and loose like a Steph Curry-like. But there's so many times where you're like, what? Oh, that's a bad shot. That's just a straight-up bad shot. You can get a better one. But he is a playmaker. I think with the Nate McMillan, you know, and this beef, whatever you want to call it, he has until the calendar year to make sure they're still winning games and they're still, like, in the mix here in the Eastern Conference. Because if they don't win, they're, like, a good chunk of their next 13 games, they have an easy schedule to end the season. Like, they have a lot of winnable games against teams like the Magic and the Hornets and, you know, sorry, but the Bulls in there and the Pistons are in there and the Pacers, you know, you should be able to beat a team like that if you're the Hawks. Even the Nets and Knicks and stuff like that, a lot of winnable games. But if they hit a stretch here and this boils up and there's frustration, whatever, then Nate McMillan will be gone early 2023. Like, he will just be fired and somebody will slide over or they'll get somebody else. But they should have a good record, is I guess what I'm getting at. Like, they should be top four in the Eastern Conference by 2023, I think, when you look at the teams they play. But we'll see.
And they currently are. As we said, they are top four, but they're effort level has been a roller coaster this season, as we've said, watching them quarter to quarter.
They're and it's so inconsistent,
And it's understandable if the locker room isn't together. I can understand how the rest of the roster doesn't sort of fill in behind Trae and DeJounte Murray if they know that their lead guy is button heads pretty regularly. It sure feels like with Nate McMillan. If they know, even if there isn't button heads, that Trae isn't fully behind the head coach, how can that locker room be flowing all the time? So that's probably why we've seen an up and down effort. But I totally agree. It's Nate's job that's on the line. Mm-hmm. And that would be the second coach that's gonzo with Trae Young. Button heads with him.
I know we're only going off the report, but do you think Nate McMillan had a point here, though, with Trae Young and like how he was approaching the rehab with the shoot around and like, are you going to be there?
Not really. No, I think he's kind of overstepping his bounds. I don't think coaches are usually involved in the injury prevention and recovery. Mm-hmm. So I think he's probably a little bit over the line saying you got to come to shoot around and then you can go get treatment during walkthrough. Like, what's the difference?
Yeah, I think this is Nate McMillan was a hard nosed player in the NBA. And I think it's a little bit of like, he didn't miss a lot of games from what I can remember, you know. He couldn't because he's not a star like Trae Young. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if there's a bit of like, come on, he's thinking, though, he's, you know, he's like, come on, you know, man, he's like literally man up here, get out here. But that's not how you, in today's NBA, how you generally deal with your stars.
But it feels like the
especially
shoulder,
if you don't have a good relationship.
It feels like, regardless of the timing, whether or not, when he was getting his shoulder worked on, like his shoulder was fine when it comes down to it. Like, he can get his shoulder worked on.
Right.
But yeah. He played in the previous game, is playing tonight. I just don't like it. I just don't like it. Yeah, I guess he wanted him out there for shoot around. Trey said, nah, thanks. Shoot around? We're talking about shoot around?
No,
it felt that way reading it. Like, come on.
Right.
I don't need
like,
to do
why
that.
Is this important? Yeah, like, let me just get my shoulder worked on here and...
But he
and Nate's like, no, we're not doing it that way. He just got, he was a little stubborn.
Yeah.
But to me, that you're right, Tass. Like, that's like build up.
Yeah.
That doesn't just happen just like that. That's like months, if not maybe even longer, of like, disagreeing on how they're running things or how they're getting shots or whatever it is, how they're just going about being a professional, even. That's when that builds up. And then you sort of snap. Well, okay, then don't show up or you're coming off the bench, right?
Yep.
Like an ultimatum.
And then they tried to bury it on Sunday, and the Hawks did a good job of burying their John Collins, Trae Young riffs a couple years ago. You remember that? It felt like the end then of Trae and John Collins. They buried it. They went on to a playoff run. So maybe they can do it again.
TK, who you got for a loser of the weekend?
I think Greg Popovich was right that the Spurs aren't going to win the title. Yeah. Two losses over the weekend, now 11 straight L's for San Antonio. It's the worst losing streak of Popovich's career, though he wasn't around for these ones due to some medical concerns, but it's the second worst losing streak in Spurs history. The 11th loss was a particularly bad one, lost by 38 to the Suns on Sunday. Kind of expected, the best team in the conference versus the worst team in the conference, who happened to be missing four of their top eight players. Pointless to really break down the X's and O's of the Spurs, but they're clearly missing Jakob Poeltl a lot. 54 combined points for DeAndre Ayton, Dario Saric, and Jock Landale on Sunday. Zion, like we talked about, went for 30 on 9 of 14 shooting, and Valanciunas had 21 on 8 of 11 in the loss on Friday. They got no defense, period, and strictly no defense inside when Poeltl's gone. So they've lost 16 of the last 17 the Spurs have. It's not going to win against the resting Bucks, which is pretty hilarious to look at when we're going back through the season. But they're now two losses from their all-time worst streak, which was back in 1989. They don't play until Thursday. They've got Houston. That's a chance for a win right there. After that, it goes Miami, Cleveland, Portland, Miami. So I'm thinking a must win on Thursday for the Spurs. Otherwise, we might be looking at the worst Spurs team in history here. So... you guys watching that Spurs game on Thursday? Spurs Rockets? There's only three games on.
Oh, well, yeah.
Just three games.
Dabble a little bit.
That's a true sicko test right there. Six wins versus five wins.
Yeah, at least the Rockets, as we talked about, are entertaining. Look, they started so strong, too. I was doing victory laps here in the Classic Factor. I told you not to bet the under on the Spurs. This is Greg Popovich, man. They're going to easily squeak out, 25 wins, whatever their low over-under was. And not so sure now after losing 16 of 17. They're gonna have a good old chance at Wembanyama here.
Yep.
It's actually impressive how badly they're being beaten. They're a minus 12 in the point differential category. So an average of 12 points they get beat by over the course of 24 games here. The next team, the next worst team in the Western Conference is the Rockets, under 7. So that's a pretty big margin.
Yeah.
And those are the only two bad teams in the Western Conference, really, because the Thunder are fairly solid at the 13th spot. It's a great conference, and then we'll see the other two teams battle it out on Thursday.
Bad news for the Spurs fans. I just did a good old tankathon draft lottery simulator. Clicked it. Spurs fell to 5th. They're getting the 5th pick. Congratulations to the Pistons on the number 1 pick. Magic 2nd, Hornets 3rd. OKC jumping up there into 4th.
Well, the good thing is that their team is completely unwatchable and they're getting destroyed in every single game. But if they're going to get the 5th pick, it's totally somehow they're worse than the tanking Thunder teams that we've seen in the past couple of seasons.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is almost impressive to be worse than them.
A couple other mini losers of the weekend, if you want to call them that. I think we have the clip here, but Rudy Gobert ejected for tripping John Schumann's guy, Kenrich Williams. Gobert ejected in the first half of an eventual loss after, you know, he purposely tripped Williams. Yeah, look. Williams scored on the floater at the rim. They sort of all fell. Gobert pissed off about that, and he just, like, swept the leg. And down goes Williams, and then he got up. A little brief scuffle ensued. Nothing too serious after the trip. But Gobert assessed a flagrant two foul. Thrown out. His fifth ejection. First as a Wolf. And Williams got a tech there as well. But, I mean, this is bad. I mean, Gobert lost his temper. I think, I don't know. I guess you could argue, is that enough to warrant an ejection? Yeah, okay. But the officiating in this game was butt. I mean, it was brutal. Did you see there was an egregious charging call on Anthony Edwards sort of late in this game? Should have been overturned, and it somehow wasn't. Wild, wild call.
Yes.
But the Wolves lost their composure. They had five technical fouls, and they needed Gobert. You're playing OKC. This is a small front line. He could have done work. And you know why I know that? He was killing it before he got tossed, and Naz Reid came in and put up a monster line. You know, admirable job by Naz Reid. He had 18 rebounds, 13 points, 4 blocks. But the Wolves also allowed OKC to shoot, you know, 52% from the field and 66 points in the paint. That's probably not happening if Gobert is playing in this game. They obviously don't have Kat. So, he lost his temper, and I think was a big reason why they lost the game. My gut says the Wolves' chances are much, much better of pulling this victory out against OKC if Gobert's playing, and they need all the wins they can get. So, got to give him a loser there. Temper boy. Got to give him a temper boy
shirt. Big time temper boy. Yep. He's a long-standing temper boy. I remember an ejection many moons ago with the Jazz when he just smacked a water bottle.
Oh, yeah.
Smacked it so hard. Yeah, that was a great clip. I feel like this is a pretty fair ejection. That was a tough fall for Kenrich Williams. Yeah. Especially, I mean, you can tell he's running back up the court. He's not expecting any. Head over heels, basically. But, I don't know, Timberwolves got to look themselves in the mirror pretty soon and start getting serious about their season. They needed Rudy's screen assist out there.
Yeah, he obviously really opens up some room for them. And you're right. It's not like, you can't even convince yourself it was accidental in the sense that he, like, tripped him. Like, he very much
pretty bad.
Sweeps the leg. So, yeah, rightfully
good,
gone.
Good for Kenrich. He was pretty cool under the collar there. He could have got way more mad.
Cool, a little cool under the mullet.
Yeah. He's got a cool mullet.
It's got a crazy look. He does. Very unique hairstyle there.
I said cool. You said crazy. You don't want to call
you
a mullet
cool.
Cool? There's not too many cool mullets out there. Kenrich did it. He did it. He could give Gordon Hayward some tips. Gordon Hayward's mullet. Not cool. Kenrich is cool.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's cool. He's dedicated to.
He's very dedicated.
It's years of that mullet.
I want to give a mini loser of the weekend to the matinee LA Clippers because they suffered their worst loss on Saturday to the Sacramento Beams. In fact, they were chanting "Light the Beam" in
yes,
LA.
Yes.
Wow. Now Kawhi and Paul George, they went through light practice apparently on Friday. They were upgraded to questionable for Saturday's game. They did not play. They're going on this road trip, but they did not play, and that sucks. There's no Luke Kennard for the Clippers. He's been out for a while. Norm Powell was out after obviously having some big games last week. He's got a groin injury, I think, that he sustained in Portland there on Tuesday. And the Clippers just got hammered. 22 points they were down at the half. It was down to 31 at one point. And like I said, they were chanting "Light the Beam." Hollinger tweeted, and it had me thinking. I'm like, is he right? Hollinger tweeted, "The Clippers have lost every daytime home game of the Kawhi PG era by at least 30 points. Prove me wrong." And I was like, damn, that feels right, but that can't be. So I looked at the numbers.
No way.
Just quickly.
No way.
Statitudes.
John is he's going off a little recency bias.
Sure.
But the Clippers have played 4 afternoon home games this season. Their record's 1-3. So they beat the Pacers by 14 in one of their games, and they got spanked in the other 3. Johnny's right here. Pelicans beat him by 21. Nets beat him by 15. Kings beat him by 27. And then if you go back the year prior, they played 7 afternoon home games. But guess what? They went 5-7. So they had a decent record in those weird weekend.
5-2.
Games. But, here's where Hollinger's memory is coming in here. The losses are spank jobs. Mm-hmm. So they win some of those games, but when they lose, they lose. They lost to the Warriors and the Grizzlies, again, by 15 points. This is last year. And then I think one more for good measure here. 2021, that season, they played 6 matinee home games. They went 3-3, but they lost one game to the Dallas Mavericks by a score of 124-73. It was just after Christmas. So, okay. I think this is what's happening with Hollander's memory.
It's the Mandela effect. Yeah, I, too, was buying in.
I know, right? Yeah. But, last year they won a decent amount of these games, either on Saturday or Sunday when they play, 12:30 or 1 o'clock starts there. But anyway, they got embarrassed. They don't have their team. And, come on. Are these guys going to play? I guess they are at some point on this road trip. I know they're playing the very long game of have them healthy by the playoffs, but rough loss. I don't know if you have any thoughts on the matinee clips.
They are playing the long game. They're playing the long John Hollinger Silver game. I get it. Yeah, it's hard to watch. It's hard to watch in the short term.
Yeah. You don't need to. You can avoid Clippers matinee games, even if they win some of these on the weekend. Final loser of the weekend. I hate to do it, but I got it. The NBA app. I just had a qualm about it that really drove me nuts. JD, you got a picture. Because, this is Friday night. All these great games are on, like we were talking about. I'm bouncing around like a loser on Friday night, sitting at home, taking in the basketball like a sicko. And I noticed they show you the score. You can turn that on and off. You can toggle that if you want. They don't show you what the time is in the game or even the quarter. So it's really annoying when you got a bunch of games going on and you're seeing some close scores. And you're like, ooh, I might jump over to see that one. Like to see the finish of that one. But you don't know. I don't know. Is it the third quarter? Is it late fourth? With today's scores, you can't really tell anymore. So it's just put up a... You know what I would be happy with? Don't even tell me the exact time left in the quarter. Give me, early fourth, mid fourth, late fourth. Just give me a ballpark so I can save myself from clicking over, which is also a pain in the ass. Too many clicks to get to another game. Anyway.
Yeah, it is a little too many clicks. Can I ask, what device are you watching on?
Apple TV.
That was the Apple TV.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it. I too watch on Apple TV.
Don't you think that's should be fixed? I think it should tell you that at least the time in the game.
I watch those games nightly on Apple TV. I almost don't believe that they don't have the time.
I want to see.
I think mine does.
Mine's Fire TV. I can't
speak to this.
Can't get in the game here. Yeah.
I'm gonna take a nice photo tonight.
All right, let me know. I need to update something?
Maybe there's just a bug that night, or is it just? Because
you'd think there would be the time there. You're right.
I'm the same. I think I've seen quarters and times on mine.
It wasn't there. Yeah. So maybe it was a bug.
Maybe.
I have been having the NBA app, it's new, this year. I've been having a lot of success with it. It's been working really well for me. Way better than years prior.
I like it.
And
they got Atlanta.
Well,
a little fine-tuning.
I see some people, though, it's still an issue for them. And I think it depends on the platform. And I don't know if you're an Android or whatever. But, recently, the bugs are coming.
Yeah.
It's I suddenly couldn't watch a game the other night. I'm like, what's going on here?
No more bump Boccolini's in the road. It's been smooth sailing. What they need them.
Stop yourself, man. Stop yourself.
Anyway.
Gun for
holy crap.
Hey, they used to work on it.
Yes.
Yeah, they did.
They need is a Scott. Every single time someone scores. I want to hear it.
Three people are getting these references. Three people in addition to us are getting these references. Matty O, Jaren, maybe if he's watching or listening.
Kaplan.
And Cap, yeah.
Yep, that's it.
The app has been better.
Overall, it has been. But
it's more enjoyable experience.
I better see a tweet from you tonight. Let me see if you got the time in these games.
I'm 99% sure. I'm going to set up the lights on the television to take a photo of my television. I am going to set up a glam shot.
Glam shot.
Of my Apple TV.
Okay. All right. Well, I can't wait to look for that tweet. At Tasmellis tonight on Twitter. You'll see that tonight, guys.
Yeah, you won't because you don't have it chronological. You only
I'll wake up in the morning and see that you did it for sure. Yeah. 10 days from now, I'll see it.
That's weird.
All right. We got to take a final break when we come back. Pick 'em results from Friday night and tweet of the night, which is a great one. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Sorry about that tap on the shoulder there. I could hear your elbow grinding into the table. Like it was a, it wasn't a good angle.
Is that how hard up, rather your than stranger a hit you?
No.
No, it was a kind.
But the thing is, I my elbow wasn't on a table when he gave me the pat.
Elbow's free.
Yeah. So I think it was just, it was a hard one.
I'll move my elbow and try it.
Now I can go hard.
No problem.
Yeah.
No elbow on the table. I was expecting it before.
Yes.
Whoa. Yeah.
There was grinding.
Very scary.
There was a bulbous thing going on. Like, you know, in your elbow, sometimes when you get a, like the Blake.
My elbow bulbous?
The Blake Griffin. You know the Blake Griffin bulge?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't like that. Don't like that at all. Nah. I got pointies.
Yeah, I'm bony.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I'm bony M. I heard you fired up that Christmas album.
Oh, my Lord, I did.
It's a banger, eh?
Oh, yeah. It's awesome, except for, well, actually, this is awesome about it, too. The first song on the record and the last song on the record, exact same song.
Okay.
The Oh My Lord one. It's the best one. Ah, so like, roll it out there twice. Why not?
Is it an alternate mix or like
I couldn't. I don't know. It'd been so long since I heard the first one. By the time the last one came on, I thought it was a remix, but it didn't say remix. I don't know. It's not. I didn't know what to expect when I got the Boney M tip.
I couldn't believe you had never heard of Boney M.
This is the first time?
Nora told us.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I know. Like, that's a staple in our house.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Nora's convinced the best. Like Christmas album.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. I co-sign that.
But I'm glad you got it bumping in the house.
It's in the rotation now, for sure.
Great. I was going to ask you, when did he tap you? Like when you were leaving the voting booth? Like did you guys, you obviously voted around the same time, tap after or tap when you're heading in? Like, thanks.
When he left. He departed just before me.
Oh, okay.
And he said, what a moment we shared.
Nice. Exchange numbers? Like,
No.
No?
No. I mean, it could have got there.
You could celebrate a Warnock victory here coming up. Go grab a beer with him.
I don't care who he was voting for. I don't know who he was voting for.
True.
I'm reaching across the aisle.
True.
It doesn't matter your stripe.
Okay.
We're all in the same boat. I helped him. I had no idea who he voted for. Did I peek over his shoulder to check if he was requesting a Democratic or a Republican ballot? Maybe.
Well, I'm going to judge him if he voted for Herschel Walker.
Herschel Junior Walker shows up on the ballot as a junior comes out of nowhere like a Boney Elm album. Boney Elm.
Hey, you have to ask for a specific party ballot?
It's up to you. It's more about, you can ask for a Democratic, Republican, or a nonpartisan. But it's more for the other elections rather than this one vote where we voted for one single person.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Pick'em results.
Yeah, it is fascinating.
Let's go to Lakers-Bucks game Friday night. It was one of the games of the year. Trey said it. Milwaukee was favored by 8.5 in that game. Maybe a little Chris Middleton bump on that one. You know, primetime bump. But the Lakers not only kept it close, they straight up won. That's happening a lot here, I've noticed, in our pick'em games. Not just covers.
Straight ups.
SUs.
Hit the SU on this one.
Yeah, Trey had Milwaukee, though, so that's a loss for you. You're 0-2 in the month of December. Tass is perfect, 2-0, and I improved to 1-1. What's tonight's game?
Down at State Farm Arena.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see how the Hawks respond after this report.
Yeah.
They're hosting OKC, favored by 5.5 points. Trey and I think they will handle the Thunder fine. Skeets, you got OKC. Why?
It was a tough
plus one. +5.5
for
them.
It was a tough one. Man, trying to figure out the Atlanta Hawks is next to impossible. That's the honest truth. They'll win a couple games, they'll lose a couple games, they'll win a couple games, they'll lose a couple games, they'll look good one quarter, look brutal the next. Thunder are a good team. It feels like they're in a lot of games, so maybe like even this is a Hawks win by 2 or 3, you know, comes down to a final shot. But, yeah, I just can't figure out the Hawks. So I just swerved a little bit. I want to get down to this game tonight, I realized. I'd love to see SGA. Is he playing?
Only chance would be tonight.
Yeah. Yeah,
I assume so.
Yeah.
We did get a message from somebody coming from out of town
saying, saw that.
Hey, I'm going to be at the game tonight.
It caught me by surprise that they were here, I got to be honest. It's too many games. Too many games on. All right. Let's get... Oh, we got to get
to
this.
Alert? Do you want an alert when OKC is coming to town? Do you want a Scott... Doing alert?
Sure. I just saw Scott Doing.
Yeah.
Great guy.
It's not a good doing. It's not really a ding, but to me, in my head, I think it's an alert.
Yeah.
But it's not an alert.
Anyway. Tweet of the night. Let's do it.
Tweet of the night. Wow.
Well, I wanted to apologize to a fan of the show. I'm sure you've seen him tweet before. Jacob Ruggiero, I believe his last name is. He tweets a lot about our show, especially when we're talking or not talking about the Denver Nuggets. And he had what was going to be Tweet of the Night. It came through on Friday, but I liked it because he was like, you're not talking about Aaron Gordon and his all-star case enough. And I was like, okay, we could do a little deep dive on that come Monday. But you know what, Jacob? I'm sorry.
Not anymore.
At SI Now had to drop a video on Sunday night that had the internet buzzing. And that is... This video of Steph Curry. The tweet was, just finished a shoot with Steph Curry. This dude just can't miss. Again, from the official Sports Illustrated Twitter account. And we're showing it to you here if you're listening to the podcast. Steph Curry appearing to heave in 90-footers in a practice facility. And he's going to hit, eventually, 5 in a row. And look, the internet went nuts. Is this real? This can't possibly be real. Wait, it looks real. It's Steph Curry. If anybody could do this, it'd be Steph Curry. He celebrates it.
It's
so.
One take, no edits. Yeah. Ball doesn't leave the frame.
Yeah, yeah. And so I tweeted, like, I know this ain't real. I know this ain't real. I know this ain't real. And then, like, is this real? It's not real. I'm sorry to say that. But I love that it's Steph Curry, and you have to be like, could he do it? Could he make it do it? Could he make 5 in a row? But... What a clip. Well edited. It's from, I guess, the same guy that did the, was it Tom Brady throwing balls into the, I don't know what you call that, the football machine that, like, releases them.
Jugs.
Is that what it's called?
Jugs machine.
Yeah, okay. I think it's the same guy that did that. Maybe the same guy that also did this drone shot of Brady hitting a hole in one. This is his thing here. It's like the old LeBron commercial back in the day where he was taking jumpers from 90 feet. That was like a Gatorade commercial maybe, or I don't know, Nike.
Was it Gatorade? Maybe it was.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Powerade. Whoa, Powerade.
Okay, there you go.
Nice.
But this Steph Curry one, I mean, it looks great. It looks incredible. And a small part of you wants to believe. That's the thing. That's the best part about it.
Exactly right. You could only do this with Steph and have people even consider the fact that it was real. Maybe just one toss would have been enough. If it was one toss and it went in, everybody's like, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I believe it for sure.
Yeah. I would. Multiples. What about this? What about, to make it more believable, the 5 shots? Throw a miss in there.
Throw a miss in?
Throw a miss in on the 3rd or 4th one. Nobody's going to be... Everyone's going to still go nuts, and then you're really going to believe it. A lot more, at least. You're going to be like, why would they leave a miss?
That's a good point.
Should have thrown a clanker in there. You know, again, extremely well edited. You see all the balls that he already shot down there and stuff. It looks good.
Looks great, yeah.
So, I want to get your take on this. People were pissed off that this is, of course, a deep fake or whatever you want to call it. It's fake. That SI tweeted this. And then I think the Warriors maybe retweeted it as well. And people are pissed off in the sense, like, that shouldn't be... they're upset that, like, a real, reputable...
This isn't news.
Yeah, that's like... that they would share. It'd be one thing if No Dunk shared this or whoever, like, some silly fun account. Mm. But for SI, for the Warriors, you can't trust any single tweet from them ever again.
Well.
So I thought maybe this would be worse of the week running. What do you think?
No, you can't trust anything. You can't trust anything. Citizen DTA. Journalism? Shut up. Nothing. You can't trust anything. You literally can't. Okay. You have to do your... I don't want to do it. What about the Dr. Pepper challenge out there? Did you see the Dr. Pepper challenge?
They gave them both money, I heard.
Yeah, I was confused watching that live.
You want to explain it for someone that doesn't know?
So, well, you brought up the jugs, the NFL jugs, and there was a college football competition.
Yeah.
Two women were firing these footballs. They were doing chest passes.
Yeah, they're allowed to do that for sure. They've done that for years.
Yeah. Smart.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's way more efficient.
Yeah.
And so they're firing it through these large holes, which are whatever they are, 30 feet away. And it felt like they finished at the exact same time, but they the announcer said immediately that one person won. And it was surprising. It was basically at the exact same time. It was within a maybe 0.00001 second.
In terms of hitting the same amount.
Yeah, the same. They went to a tiebreaker. Even in the tiebreaker, they were tied. It was pretty phenomenal.
Sounds like a good game.
It was a great match between these two women. And eventually, I think they get a tuition.
Yeah,
The award is tuition for college, which is great.
So hold on. Are you saying these are fake?
No.
The clips are fake?
No, I was watching it live. not even SI could doctor that. This was
Dr.
real.
Pepper that.
Wasn't there also like a viral clip of Drew Brees getting struck by lightning going around on Twitter? I think it was some kind of like betting service. And they're like, look how fast you can place a bet. This guy just got completely electrocuted.
Yeah.
And I was like, what happened to Drew Brees?
Yeah.
He's fine.
They had to come out and say that he's okay.
He did not get struck by lightning.
He was a San Diego Charger.
Was it what was the baseball one? Ichiro, was he throwing something? Remember?
Oh yeah, he had those like five vertical sticks at home plate, and he was on the pitcher's mound, and he was basically
him?
Yeah, I think it was Ichiro. Yeah, and so these vertical sticks are very thin, and he just like popped the top of each one. So that was fake too.
Well, I don't know anymore, man. I think it was. I think they all are when they're that incredible, but. I don't know. I guess that's they're professional athletes. Yeah. So a small part of you is like, damn.
It's like hitting like a tiny target, like hitting a tennis ball from 60 feet away. That doesn't seem too crazy.
No, but there's something that it ends with that it's like, okay, the way, I forget what it is. Yeah. I forget. Anyway, who cares? Okay. Tweet of the night.
Good one.
Let us know. Should it be in the running? Should it be in the running for worst of the week when we get to Friday?
Interesting.
Yeah. SI tweeting that. Do they need to apologize to us?
Interesting. Do they need to apologize? Didn't Sports Illustrated put like a fake pitcher on the cover, like circa 1980s? They're like, there's some random dude who throws 120 miles an hour.
April Fool's, maybe.
Yeah, I think they did on April Fool's or something like that. So
yeah.
Maybe all the other people need to apologize for getting mad at Sports Illustrated because they've been doing this for years.
Well, but it's not April Fool's people will come back with. Early December? What the hell is that?
December Fool's? What was it, December 1st?
What if they just put the Sacramento Kings logo up? This is courtesy of Lee S's stream team. Let's say they just tweeted the Sacramento Kings logo. Are they for real? Haha, that's a discussion. There you go. Okay, all right. Didn't work out. Whatever. Sports Illustrated took an L, so did I. But I don't know. Maybe they can recover if they tweet the Kings logo.
Oh, yeah, Mr. TD, the Tiger Woods one, where he's juggling balls on his club. Like, I think, is there multiple? Like, no guys can do
that.
There
is a real one where he's like, pop, psh, blast it off. But that's like 90s. Maybe they remade it. I don't know.
Yeah, there's so many of them
now. I thought that was real.
Yeah,
everything you see
real.
On TV is fake.
That's right. That's right. Survivor, it's all planned out, guys.
This is just an AI podcast. AI-generated humans sitting here. The scripts are programmed by these computers.
Yeah.
We input the statistics ahead of the show, and it just rambles off stuff.
There's like, you can turn up the pun gun setting on TAS. So you switch it up. Some days it's like through the roof. Some days, you know, pretty normal.
Just normal.
Yeah. It's cool.
We're going to be replaced soon.
Great. I can't wait.
Yeah, you're already in motion.
Where
you're
are you going?
Jerome coming in.
You know, just set it and forget it. That's it. And then we'll go make some viral videos out there while the show's going on.
I like that idea.
We need a fake viral video. Something cool that's fake.
Yeah, what could we do? What would we do?
What could we do?
So you mean like something physical, like a physical?
I'm thinking something that's like feet. Here in the Classic Factory, but it's like, I don't know, like could Trey be like, I don't know why I just thought of this,
okay.
But Trey's like, hey man, can you grab me some coffee? And so we deepfake it, but a guy like just chuck my coffee. You know, just like we all make it nonchalant, like we always do it. So my coffee comes flying out of my cup. into his. Cheers.
Perfect.
Yeah. Let's get to tweet of the night. You know, right into it. If you got an idea, let us know.
That's great. I like
and
that.
And deep fake technology.
That's not bad for right on the spot. It
not
came
bad
up
at all.
Right?
No, and people would speculate, is the classic factory in space? Because it would be like,
oh, yeah.
What if that was a thing? We just start floating around. All right, show's over, and then behind the scenes, we just float off.
That'd be a fun pick'em.
Anti-gravity?
In the anti-gravity unit there.
What anti-gravity?
Well, not that we have one, but like go to one.
Oh, yeah.
And do the show floating. That'd be fun. We might get sick and stuff like that, though, yeah.
Well, isn't it a plane that goes up and down, like...
I don't know how they
that's
do
how
it.
They do it.
Yeah, they get the G's on you, though.
Yeah.
People, not my God, kids.
You're definitely going to throw up. It'll be, what, the third time you threw up on the show? Second time.
Threw up with the eggnog?
Eggnog. That was it, right?
Yeah, I've only thrown up once.
Yeah.
Just as we went to to the end of the show. But I did throw up, definitely.
I can understand. Eggnog is sweet.
I've told you, like, driving home that day, I shouldn't have been driving. If I would have got pulled, I would have got pulled over by the cops. I would have gone to jail for drinking too much eggnog.
Yeah. Well, we shouldn't have put so much rum in it.
No, there was because of the sugar, my body was like convulsing while I was driving. Ugh. It was really scary. That's when I lived right down the road too.
Well, anyways, I'm gonna find some real eggnog for us from a local farm here in Georgia. That's not it's not cranked up on sugar, and it's just delicious.
That'd be better.
Oh, it's way better. I'm also going to the Space and Rocket Center in Huntsville, Alabama, so I'll ask if they can...
see if they got a setup there for us, yeah.
Yeah, or deliver one over here.
Nice.
Deliver one.
Well, I know you're not driving 3 hours hopped up on sugar to Alabama.
I don't always chug eggnog before I drive.
Huntsville, largest population of a city in Alabama. Huh.
I'm reading Charles Barkley's new book.
All right,
Tim Bella, we might have him on the podcast hopefully in the weeks, maybe in the new year. But yeah, Alabama, there's a lot of Huntsville coming up in it.
Yeah.
He's from Leeds, of course.
Barkley. From Leeds, Alabama. There's a statue, baby. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A Barkley statue in Leeds, right by the Buc-ee's. All right.
Is the show still going?
Yeah, it is. It is. Okay. But we should stop it because we have another show tomorrow. Live at 10 a.m. Eastern here from the Classic Factory. Hey, maybe we'll do a little beach stepping.
Get your questions in.
Send in those letters. Overnight delivery. You can get them here in time. Can you swing by the P.O. box in the morning?
Yeah. Deliver some.
It's a letter. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Send some eggnog as well.
Yeah.
So I can pick up eggnog and the letter from the P.O. box rather than having to go to a local farm.
I love it.
You know something we could fake really easily? A letter. Look at this. Wow.
Oh, like a bunch of letters. Like Santa gets.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, pull one from the pile. Ooh. This one from Mass Pellis writes. All right. Let's see you guys tomorrow, eh? We'll see you then, eh? Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, Mass Pellis. I thought you were going to go with...
I could have done better than that.
Well, I thought you were referring to our former colleague here, Lee Ellis. Maybe he was pen-palling himself while he was in Europe. Do you think he wrote notes? Do you think he wrote letters to his kids while he was gone?
Some people do that. I don't take him as a person that does that, though.
Oh, you have
a
phone.
A FaceTimer.
Yeah, he's FaceTimer.
People have phones now. Why would they write letters? or a postcard. And his photos were postcards. You don't even need postcards anymore.
If you got a postcard, though, you'd be pumped.
Yeah.
I would be. I love getting mail. Like anything. Like a thank you.
That kind of mail, especially.
I like hand-delivered mail. Your daughter gave Nora and I like a thank you for our birthday gift or something like that.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
Or something like that.
No, I couldn't remember what it was for. Yeah.
It really hit home. It was so heartwarming. Or something like
that. It's up on the mantle. It's still there. And then you got to make a decision. When are we chucking this out? It's always tough, eh?
Yeah.
Cards and stuff of that nature. You're like, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
How long?
Well, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Clipper Bro? Yeah, we did.
88. I'll tell you
we
how long.
We did the quote and everything.
88 minutes. That's 89 minutes. That's how long.
We started a little late today. That's not too bad. All right. From Mass Pellis, from Trade Derby, and me, EJ Peets. See you guys tomorrow.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.